is beautiful Beis HaLevi in making the whole Cheshbon what Eliezer tested Rivka with. He did a whole shtickle with her. So the Pashtus says, the Gemara says it was a nichus, which was also really. And the Gemara says it wasn't. Shadow was also nichus by Yaakov. Tosfos on it. What didn't the Eliezer have? Weiter. Oichad Tosfos stells on it. But the Gemara says he did a nichus. The Gemara says it wasn't so appropriate. He could have gotten something just because he was sent on a shlichus. He did a nichus and Lamaisa Kadosh Baruch Hu was matzliachim. But Be'etzem, he was allowed to rely on the Nes. Anyway, he did, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was matzliach darka. The Beis HaLevi points out it wasn't stam and nichush, Be'etzem. He was testing her also. He was testing her in chesed, but besides chesed, he was also testing her in chochma. And this is something to appreciate. Chesed has to go along with seichel. Seichel is edel lezach, as they say in Yiddish. It's something delicate. Every chesed has to be done b'seichel, with the chochma, in a way that is taka true chesed, with sensitivity. Because Levi points out, he tested her, she had a full cut. He went and he drank straight from the cut. What was she going to do now? She'll pour out the water. If she'll keep the water, it could be that he has germs. He has some sickness. It's not right to keep that water. She'll pour it out in front of him. She's embarrassing him. I view you as someone who Yeshirayim are repulsive to me. How would she react? What did she do? Very smartly. She immediately, at the beginning she said, "Say," and then she said, when he finished drinking, "Gavin kemalecha esha," and she goes ahead and she empties it out into the shaykes. He saw over here chesed, swiftness, taka serve him. A thirsty man wants a drink. She goes ahead, and chochma, and how she'll deal with the trap that he set for her, to see whether she'll be sensitive to someone else's feelings. You see two things over here, the mice. Right, there's an important yisod over here. Maybe I talk that I shouldn't always have to talk to your age, but alevav chaz, I mentioned, one day will fall in its place. In a shidduch, there's two things you got to look for. Chesed, good midas, mitzeichel. Good midas coming with a sensitivity, with a seichel, with caring, in a true way. Nothing else counts. Nothing. This is what Avraham Avinu was looking for Yitzchak. He said, anyone from over here, go to my mishpacha, go to my birthplace. That deep tchunas nefesh, what a person, where he grew up with, what he grew up with, who that person is in his essence, that's the yisod. That's how you build Klal Yisrael. And that's what you really look for. You look for good midas, for chesed, with das, with sensitivity to others, with true seichel. And nothing else counts. Sai for the gash mystical life and sai for the ruch mystical life. Any other consideration is Gehenna b'olam hazeh and Gehenna b'olam haba. Please want to establish a heilige yiddish shtub. These are the tchonas nefesh that you look out for. That's what's important. And that's how you establish a true home. Seichel, edelkeit. And it's true, lemaisa, every person has to work on chesed. When a child is very egocentric, everything revolves around his own ego, his own world. As someone matures, has to open up to the world around him, be sensitive to the world around him, care about people next to him, realize that he's not the center of everything, Chesed is something which you cannot take for granted will develop within yourself as you go through life. You have to work at it. You have to put your mind to it. But together with seichel, with it, using your das and understanding how people are different, sometimes what you would want is not what the other person wants. Sometimes what you need is not what the other person needs. Chesed needs a tremendous amount of seichel. Specifically, Beis Hashem, one day in marriage, you'll see a sach kop. What's true chesed? But it's true between Bochrim, between Yechidim. Every Yochid is a world on his own. And what's a favor for you doesn't mean it's a favor for someone else. But it does not always mean exactly but it sometimes goes not just on the practical implication of things, but on the more on the general picture of things. I think I've shared this story with you, but if yes, it won't hurt to mention it again. Not always the maise of chesed is what counts. It's the sensitivity that goes along with it. And the opposite's also true. Sometimes you can be sensitive and therefore not to do a chesed or how to do a chesed. I share the story with you. It's in my fifth year in Ponovich, Shabbos, on Shabbos. There was a boy who joined our shir at that point, which was already, there were guys getting married from our group. It was like he came from off yeshiva, came up from up north. So that wasn't Bechlal. He lived in Kiryat Shmona, he wasn't from the regular run-of-the-mill Bocher from Ponovich. He joined yeshiva. And he felt a bit of a stranger, of course, becoming part of the group. We were sitting Friday night at the Shabbos table. The way it works over there, there's a table of six guys. And the pitcher of petal finished. So, minigamokim is that one guy goes and he goes, fills up the pitcher of petal, he comes back. He don't do it only for himself, does it for others. Okay, so this bocher, the moment the pitcher emptied, he went to the pot of petal, filled up a pitcher of petal, and brought it to the table. When he came, he began pouring for the guys, filling their cups. One bocher, choshev a bocher, as he was about to fill his cup, pulled his pocket, he says, ach darf nicht. You know, as long as I can serve myself, I'll serve myself. I was boiling. Hashchos over here. As long as I can serve myself, I'll serve myself. Where's it coming from? I'm using strong language, forgive me. But just to bring out a point, I think it's important. There's definitely an akuda. Don't use someone else if you can use yourself. Absolutely, yes. A man should try not to be dependent on others, yes. If you want to look at it from a philosophical point of view, you get into Rav Dessler, a person should be a noise, not a noitel, a ganze ma'arocha, with the whole ganze ma'alchim in being a noise, not being a noitel, gesundheit. But there's basic seichel over here also. Yeah, that's what the yesod is, einachanami, be independent. What's going on over here? You don't have to think so much, but you have to have seichel and respond automatically. A bachur feels a stranger, but not part of the group. If you'll allow him to fill up your cup, do heiliget tzadik vas du bist. You're a noisin, you're not a noitel, you want to be independent. If he'll fill up your cup, and you'll smile and say thank you, he'll feel good from it? Yes. He's trying to be part of a chavri. Yes. I mean, I'm speaking about minute kleinigkeiten, but that's where midas measure. That's where a person's nimdat. Also, in the most smallest things, and reflexes, and nuances, how you respond to different situations. He would feel good from filling up. He feels good from filling up your cup. Forgive him. Let him fill your cup and smile and say thank you. Nay. If I can take my... If I can serve... I don't like to be served. If I can do it myself, I'll do it myself. Hashchosa. Hashchosa. He's given a pellet by me to hear a few years after his chasana that he was divorced. And Nebuch, the person who told him, he says, it was a wrong shidduch to begin with. Of course, Nebuch, she suffered from him, I've no suffering. The person is a mushchitz. He'll come across as a grace at tzaddik. There's deep hashchosa. I'm using much too sharp language, but for the purpose of self-education. Seichel, mit chesed. Dafnitz in the kop. And where does it come stem from? A person has to be truly sensitive and caring for another's feelings. And it's not something we take for granted. It's something we have to develop within ourselves. I'll give you a word. A vertel. A great grandmother used to say, an old zog in Yiddish. She was a Bas Gedolim. Her father was a Benachar Ben from the Rabshitzer. A great sefer she was. She had a memory, she said. She used to say, "Metorner zitzim leben anar afilu in Gan Eden." You know how to sit next to someone stupid, even in Gan Eden. Chesed has to go with Chochma. There's a kefa lashon. What's the shnei chayisara? What's the emphasis on the kefa lashon over here? The shnei chayisara. So over here, there's a nitziv. I've mentioned this nitziv. Over here, he says it in many places. The Torah is emphasizing over here a nakuda. When the Torah refers again to the life of Sarah. Life, chayim, says the Netziv, Pirashnu kamem mekoymes perish chayim b'lashon kodesh, has shtei mashma uyois, two meanings. Achas chayim v'loy moves, life not death. Beis someach v'oleis v'loy itzovoim. Being someach and oleis, and not in a matzav of itzovoim. Another place that it writes, Chedvas Alitzus HaNefesh, referred to as Chaim. Chaim Birtzoinoi. Alebedik 11, as in Yiddish, the phrase, Alebedik Mensch, what does Alebedik mean? He's alive. It's alive doesn't have to mean not dead. It means on an emotional level also. Mensch is alive. Sameach V'oleis. He's not Be'itzovoin. Not Be'itzovoin. There's a concept of shneis chaim. Shneis chaim, a gelept eleven. I can't say the phrase in English. A gelept eleven. A lebedik eleven. That's the concept of chaim. Many places. Zokt in itziv, a tremendous yisoid about Sora Yimeinu. He says we have to understand. He brings the Chazal that Sora was greater than Avram in Ruach HaKodesh. As the Pasuk says, Shema b'koyla l'roch ha-koyde sheba. Now, let's see Frek Dekash. He says, it's a teimotz. We find, there was only once we find in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever spoke to Sarah. Explicitly. By the Pesach Sabonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told her, spoke. We only find once that there was a dibra directly to Sarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tavron, there's many, all the Giluya and Nevoah Keseder. Avram, we have Lech Lecha, Zdoim, we have Vayera, Brisbane Absorim. Avram Avinu was a Novi. Says the Netziv, the Pasuk doesn't say that Sarah was greater than Avram in Nevius. In Ruach HaKodesh, she was greater. Says the Netziv, if you saw, Kedai, and darf das wissen. What's the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevius? Nevius is a matzah where Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks directly to a person. Ruach HaKodesh is a situation where a person is b'his boidedus and total shalva, and he feels it direct inspiration that he's getting a message coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, for that, you have to be totally calm and at peace to be able to achieve such a matzav. The madrig of Ruach HaKodesh, you need a tremendous inner tranquility, shalvas hanefesh, and total quietness in the inside of a person to be able to hear that vaskoil, to hear that Ruach HaKodesh, and to be connected to that Ruach HaKodesh. The Netziv is medayik that Tzor was greater than Avram Avinu Ruach HaKodesh. Avram Avinu, being the man of the house, being the Marbitz Torah that he was, the teacher of Torah, being the one out, the one more exposed to the world, he was involved the whole time, or much more to speak, with people and with artsiyos dike inyanim. While Sarah was a yeshivas oya, b'tzniyos, b'ta'aru b'kedusha on her own, she had more situations of being b'shalvas hanefesh, and to be in a matzav of inner tranquility, not being distracted by anything taka, and she was taka greater than Avraham Avinu in the need of Ruach HaKodesh, not the Ruach HaNevius. Of Ezekiel Netziv, the godless of Sarah was, had she had in at all a mid of atzvus to her, she wouldn't be shaykh to Ruach HaKodesh. Sarah Menu's greatness was, she lived a life of sameach v'oleis with the deep inner simchas hanefesh, a galept leben. She lived a full true life. Says the Netziv, with her emuna and with her bitoch and total reliance on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's goodness, she lived a life of total tranquility and alitzus with simchas hanefesh. And that's what the pasuk over here is referring to when the pasuk repeats, "Vayu chayi sora meya shana ve'esim shana v'sheva shanim." All those 127 years were the shnei chayi sora, were geleped to good years of true life that Sarah Taka had. Tremendous yisod of Netziv, which he says it in many places. Remind me, did I ever speak out with you the way the Netziv teaches the pasuk derech rishoyim upolo v'tzadik me'emunos ha'yichye, the pasuk in Chavakuk? Name? We've been almost 2 months together and sure, I haven't brought it yet. Okay, it came in Shekinah, I have to bring it up now. It's a tremendous yisod of life. Aber, again, this is an itziv in Shir HaShirim. On this mahalach of Yichya means, what Chaim means, true life. It explains the pasuk of Tzadik be'emunoso Yichya. That's what it's referring to, that type of chius, of Yichya. Gelep de'leben, a proper life. Where's that pasuk? That pasuk is in Chavakuk. What is Sefer Chavakuk? It's one of the Treyasar. Who was Chavakuk? Chavakuk was a Novi after Churban Abayis in Bovel. The whole Sefer Chavakuk really is basically one kasha and one teretz. There's a shakla v'tayru going on between Chavakuk and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavakuk asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Madua derech Roshoyim Tzlecho? Why are the Roshoyim having such a hatzlocha tikkun situation? Let's appreciate the history, the point of history of Chavakuk was. Chavakuk was for the first time seeing Klal Yisrael, ever since Yitzias Mitzrayim, in the worst situations Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, but they still were in Eretz Yisrael, and they were doing quite okay. For the first time, ever since Klal Yisrael were chosen as a nation, Klal Yisrael were in Golus Bavel, being horrifically mistreated by the Bavliim. After they were murdered, Kadosh Baruch Hu burnt the Beis HaMikdash, allowed the Rishoyim to seem so successful. the Bavlim, who were the most shuffledik nation at the time, they weren't an Am Mechubad. Be'etzem, how they were matzliach to be so mashpil Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael in Bavel at the time were starving. They were torud in every single shibud. Most of them were killed. Nebuchadnezzar and Chaverim had the most tremendous atzlocha. Nebuchadnezzar himself was Melech Bekipa. That means he was one of the four Melech of Melech Bekipa. The only Melech who before that was Melech Bekipa. What does it mean Melech Bekipa? He was the king over the whole world. The only king that before that was in that Madrega, in that situation, was Shlomo HaMelech, who ruled the whole world. He was ruler of the whole world with a tremendous kavod and a total shlita. The Pesukim even described he had a shlita over the chayus asode. Kvod Melochim, Hatzlocha Noiro. The word Sanhedrin describes. He was zoiche because of the four steps that he did, lechvoide shel mokoy. Why he was zoiche, whatever. But it was a tremendous, he was mutzlach shein kedugmasai. And Klal Yisrael were b'shvala madreg. He asked this question, Madu aderech b'shoim tzlecho? Why are they b'shoim matzliach? Chazal, on the pesuk in the beginning of Chavakot, say, he was og uga, it's a pasuk, basically. He made a circle, and he spoke, dvarim koshim klafi ma'ala. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to go out of this circle till you give me an answer to my question. He asked over there the Pesukim in the beginning of Chavakuk, Vatas Odom Kedge Hayom, how is it you created humanity like the fish, that the big fish swallow the smaller fish? Humanity works that way. That's your Hashgacha Protis, your Hanogav Hashgacha Protis, that the strong are misgaber over the weak people. What happened to your Hashgacha? How are you allowing such a thing to go on? He made a circle demanding an answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shtet in Pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, began telling him, write down this nevuah, because Rishoyim will be Marshia. There'll be a lot of Rishoyim still in the world. And they'll be seemingly Matzliach. And the Tzadikim will look like they're losing. And Laman Yamdu Yomim Rabim, put down everything I'm going to tell you in writing. And this is Sefer Chavakuk. The Kash is in Perek Aleph. Good way into Perek Beis. The middle of Perek Beis is what I'm telling you now. He's Pesukim, like Kishbochum tells him to write it all down. Kishbochum begins to give him the Teretz. Okay. The Pesuk basically begins. The Pesuk Kishbochum tells him like this. The Pesuk reads, Derech Rishoim Upolo, V'tzadik Be'emunosa Yichye. Upolo is Ayin Pei Lamin Hei, Lashon of Eifel. Derech Rishoim is darkness, and the Tzadik through his Emuna is Yichya, he's alive. The Netziv brings Chazal, Anderech Roshoyim Upala, gives an example, Anderech Roshoyim Upala, one of the and different Roshoyim, who they were obsessed with different obsessions, and their life was an Eifel. One of them was Nebuchadnezzar, who was a midget, and in his mind, he couldn't get it out of his mind that everyone is making fun of him because he's short. Derech Roshoyim Upala. In other places you find how Nebuchadnezzar, he was a cruel achzor. He took the kids of all. He had Malachim who were kings under him. He used to have their kids, their sons, their old, the eldest son of all the Malachim had to be by him in his palace. In order to be Mishabed, that he had a Mashkoin, that if any of those Malachim would do anything against him, that he would, that they knew that he's going to take revenge against their kid. He had obsessions in how he was a cruel achzor, the way he was machnia people. Chazal tell us how Tzidkiyot saw him, came into his chambers, and you saw him ripping, eating a live rabbit. Right, Mara, the Mephoshim over there explained that he was trying to be madbiya in himself, an achzorius. He was trying to be kind of midas achzorius. He was doing it. Was not. He had a taiva to eat live rabbit. it was it's an achzorius, and he was trying to matbir his nefesh achzorius. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Chavakuk, Herzu Chavakuk, listen. It seems to you that Nebuchadnezzar has a good geshmak in the mazeh, so get him good in the leben. He's living a life that's worth living. You're missing the point. He's living a life of oifel, of darkness. He's running after who knows what, and he's never finding satisfaction. V'tzadik be'emunoso yichya. A tzadik through his emunah and his dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, er lepta gut leben. The world doesn't look at things with fleshiga eyes and just seeing things in the most simple terms. That derech roshayim are matzliach. Roshayim have a hatzlocha. Das is a hatzlocha. Put things in right perspective, first of all. Derech roshayim is oifel. It's darkness. The loshen, the nitziv over there, the derech of omor dei ha'or. The loshen of the nitziv in Shir HaShirim on it's in and Pasuk Dalin, Perek Aleph, when he brings this whole Yesod, Vayta Biktzor, and other places in Marachiv Mor. The Derech of Kolmor Dei Ha'or, the rebellion, those who are rebellious against the light of Hashem, their lives are not a life which is worth living. It's a life of Choshech, of Oifel, of darkness, of different obsessions. One Agmas Nefesh brings to another Agmas Nefesh. Tzadik, a tzaddik who lives with true emunah, and he realizes the goodness of Hashem, toiv Hashem lakoil v'rachem v'alkol ma'isav, he appreciates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness, and he learns to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness. Er lept aleben. He lives a proper, he has a gishmak in life. I in the chitzoinis, it doesn't always seem that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Chavakuk, set your perspective straight first of all. Is the hatzloch of Nebuchadnezzar v'chaverim? Is that true? Is that what hatzloch is? Where's the nefesh of a person? That's what the person is. Who has an oilam hazeh? Mordechai or a Haman? Nebuch, who's obsessed? Calls the ainu shaveli. He has nothing, Nebuch. He has nothing. Seems like he has everything, but he doesn't. There's nothing to his life. Shnei Chayisora, Chayisora through her emunah, through her bitochon, through her simchas hanefesh. She was ziyad gelept aleben. She lived taka fully 127 years. That's the kefal aloshon. That's what the pasuk is coming to emphasize. It's a way of living. It's a type of life. And that's a true way of living a life. I can share with you, I've seen such people on some level who have a true good gishmak olam hazeh. From what? Not from any shtusim, not from what the Welt calls an olam hazeh, but from their closeness to Hashem. Their emun in Hashem, their dveikus in Hashem. I met biography of Moshe Feinstein. The first biography then came out from our school. I think it's basically the same. It could be. I remember seeing over there as a kid when it came out. It was a young bocher. I was a kid of 14. I remember when it came out, there was a story at the end that chapped me, exactly this line. That Rebbetzin Feinstein, when she was told of the Petirish, she remarked by saying and Ramosha. It's an interesting remark. It struck me as a bit strange, but I appreciate it very much later in life. And what was her remark? That's what I had back then. I wonder whether it's still there. A quote from her. So it was Yiddish and English together, that he truly enjoyed life. So it was in Yiddish, I had enjoyed Zayn life for something. It was like Azazogaza. What did Ramesh do his whole life? But he really had a good life. He truly enjoyed life. Chedvas Hashem Ima'uzchem. This is the life worth living. Tomas Yotzer Rabbi Tversky. Twersky had a shchibur tinyani oylam azeh to gashmias. But one thing everyone says, that inner serenity, that inner happiness, the gish at gata gut leb. I'll share with you a nekuda which struck me. His Rebbetzin, who they lived together as a team, really, they understood each other well. What was the first thing? What was her first reaction when she heard Nebuch that he was killed? What was her first question that she wanted to know? She immediately sent her son-in-law to go check his towel in the car, whether it was wet, damp. Why? Twersky went to mikveh every morning, sometimes before davening, and if he was tight in time, went after davening. In her mind, for Twersky's shlemus of how he would have wanted to be nifter, wearing talis and tefillin, shmona esra, was he zoicha b'tahara after mikveh? That was her first question. She said she was afraid to know the answer. She was afraid maybe it would be dry. It was damp. It was wet. Tanach nafsha. If you look into this, it's a maisa nerva oyim. As I told you beforehand, sometimes these little answers show everything. These little kleinikai. What's important to her? She's now an almana. If you think of the tsar yogin va'anocha nevach that she has now, she wants to know one zach, she cares, and she knew what was important to him. And one nekuda, was he zoiche? Did it happen exactly the way he would have wanted it to be? Nochen mikveh, was it after mikveh? Yeah. Oh. That was her concern at the moment. It's a mitzvah nerda. Such a type of life, a satisfaction of dveikus and Hashem. Dveikus in searching for nocha mashu of ruchnius, nocha nekuda of ruchnius. Being sameach in dveikus, being sameach in achieving nocha majeg ruchnius, nocha darer, nocha toisvus, nocha meise toiv, nocha mitzvah. That's a gishmak life that's worth living. That's Glebt Aleben. That's living a life. I had such a grandmother. It sounds funny maybe to be mentioned, but to me she was the shlemus of exactly this midah. My mother's mother. My mother also, she get to know her, she enjoys life. And she'll always see, there's always a smile there, there's always a simchas achaim, and she got it, it's a deep Yerusha. She got from, her parents were malochim. I never knew my Zayda. As my mother tells me, he never in his life, she never heard him speak negatively about anything. Not just she never heard Lashon Hara about the person. She never heard him say anything negative about anything. She never heard an expression of negativity from him, never. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, she lived with my parents for the last 10 years. I knew her very well. She was a demus to me, even before her later years in Eretz Yisrael. Never a complaint, never. More than that, everything was great. She always had, everything was always good. Everything was good. She became an almana in her early 50s. She lost her husband. If you look from a gashmiyazdik point of view, from someone on the outside, she didn't have a good day in her life, so to speak. But the truth is, she never had a bad day in her life. She had her perspective straight. She knew what she was out for. She was full of praises of Hashem till age 97. Everything was gewaldic. Everything was wonderful. And she taka convinced you how everything was taka wonderful. She saw goodness in everything. Nothing was bad, nothing. She saw the Toiv Hashem Lakoy, the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single action. And a person could achieve it, can see it. Everything was always seeing pointing out, expressing gratitude, expressing clearly how Hashem is so good to her, all the goodness of Hashem. We're all mukif, even for the biggest pessimist between us, or the greatest, if we'll really look at things, there's even in the worst pessimism that we can never put ourselves into, there's 99% good and one maybe bad. The problem is our focus, it's where we set it. What do we see in life? Do we see that 1% or do we see the 99%? A person is mukaf with tremendous chesed. Tremendous chesed in every mashu of his life. Does he notice it or appreciate it, or he never focuses and he sees that which he doesn't have good? Naturally, we'll always only notice that which we don't have, that which is not good, unless we work on ourselves. And of course, it's through verbal expression, but it's, as I'm, a lot, tons of self-talk. Notice all the goodness that you have in life. Focus on it. See the goodness of Hashem in everything, that all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. Appreciate it. See Hashem's goodness. Look out for it. That's a life that's worth living. That's tzaddik be'emunasai. Seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single nekuda. And if something doesn't seem so good to you, you should know. Kol ma'ad ovid rachman ol tav ovid. It's all good. Trade yourself to have that outlook in life. And life is gewaldik. Does a shnei chayisara, says the Netziv. That's a life worth living. She lived her 127 years. Gilebta Levin. I'll just finish off with a nekuda, a personal nekuda after Shir, Chesed Hashem with me. This week it's in the sparsim in the newspapers about a certain Yid, Tyre Yid. He and his wife were zoicha after 30 years. They had their first child, 30 years of marriage. This person, he runs the Shabbos program in Kerem, making Shabbos this for all the people who are hospitalized there. He has a dining room. He and his wife, Bali Chasodim, tremendous people, ran the Shabbos over there for years. I don't know if since they got married, but for years and years they've been running the Shabbos over there. I personally was there. Enjoyed his matzah that he created. Is it cool for that there was some bochum here who thought that they were doing a mitzvah by going? I'm just putting it. Meaning, of course, a tremendous mitzvah, but every boch has to know what his focus has to be on for certain tkufa. For that couple, absolutely. For bochum, then I remember directing them, absolutely telling it's not the right thing for bochum to be busy doing. But anyway, there was zoicha. And this week, they had the first daughter after 30 years of marriage. I was yesterday in Kerem. I bumped into him. I gave him a very warm mazel tov. He told me, of course, he's making it. Shabbos, I'm going to be in Kerem. He says, there's going to be a big kiddush over here. I said, Avada. Yeah, okay. Now he's making a big kiddush. I thought to myself afterwards, can I know Hashem blessed me? I now have my 12th child. I had a daughter born. Who has to make a bit of kiddush? Me or him? Of course, I have to. I didn't have to wait 30 years. Kachvach didn't give me one, Kachvach gave me 12. Baruch Hashem, I'm grateful. I couldn't shout.